So, you know, I did feel that I could really teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't feel that that's what the Lord wanted me to minister on. And I thought I'd talk to you a little bit about the kingdom, the church, and the marketplace. Because I feel that, you know, the way the full gospel businessman is positioned in business today in the nation, that there's something that God wants to do in the marketplace and in the kingdom that is quite unique. So I do believe that really, you know, very, as I've got to know the members very well and know what God is doing, you know, around the world, I believe that there's an impact that's going to come in business through men and women that are at the coalface of impacting businesses and the marketplace. And the understanding, I believe, is sometimes somewhat blurred between the impact that the church, the marketplace and the kingdom of God, how they interact and how they should interact according to what Scripture tells us in the New Testament and in the book of Acts. So is that right? So I want to challenge your thinking a little bit today so that you take what Scripture says and we use that to impact the kingdom of, to impact our society through what Jesus spoke about as the kingdom of God. So is that all right? I think it'll get us thinking a little bit, and that's what I want to do, is to motivate you to think, you know, what is the kingdom and what is Jesus' ministry? You see, when Jesus came into his ministry time at, you know, 30-odd years of age, he was ready to impact the kingdom of God. He said, you know, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And what did he mean by that? He meant that all the things that the Father had prepared for that time and for this next dispensation of the New Testament period, which we are living in, there was something that he imparted that even the disciples struggled to understand at times. They thought Jesus was coming to perhaps restore the nation of Israel. He was coming to do things into the nation. And, you know, the people were looking for a king. And somewhat disciples were confused. They also thought that very thing. But it's not what Jesus said. So God founded the marketplace, and Jesus' ministry refers to the kingdom of God 78 times in Scripture. You know, that's 78 times. Interesting. Luke 10:9 says, when Jesus spoke about the kingdom, he said, he wants you to go and heal the sick. He said, and let people know that God's kingdom is near at hand. Luke 16 says, the law and the prophets were until John and John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. And interesting that Jesus said in that portion of Scripture in Luke, he spoke about two things that were important, preaching and pressing in. Now, I'll just speak to you a little bit about that. See, the gospel, for the gospel to be effective, there's got to be a spiritual passion in us. And that passion is often left to the church or to the ministers in the church that we see in the church. But, you know, we are the disciples and we are God's, you know, chosen vessels in the workplace. So I want you to realize that we are special in God. God's not going to go and call the church where we are positioned in the workplace to minister the gospel and bring the kingdom to hand. So Jesus said, and this is some of the little keys that I've picked up. You know, it speaks about truth. It speaks about having a sensitive heart to the spiritual passion that God's given us. If we've got a sensitive heart, we will know that there's a spiritual passion that should flow through us. And, you know, there's some areas of that Scripture that I want to talk about, because it encourages us to speak the truth in love, to teach and to educate, and to engage in acts of kindness. Now, I'm sure you've heard this on TV and over radio. There's somebody that started a program where it's called Random Acts of Kindness. He's got a website up. And this man just felt that one day, as God spoke to him, he would do random acts of kindness for people in the workplace, in the community, wherever he went. And, you know, as people have done these different acts, they've put it onto the website, and you can log on and you can read the different acts that people have done to encourage men and women in business around the country. And it's a man in Auckland that has started, and I thought that's such a God thing, because often God wants us to help people, and, you know, engaging in kindness in the workplace can often turn families and turn situations around. So some points I made out of that Scripture were we need to have, you know, inbuilt passion for the pursuit of prayer. We need to confront the demonic when it comes up. An expectation of the miraculous. I know that as we've been hearing about miracles, as Craig has shared, I believe that that's got to happen in the marketplace. A burning heart for evangelism. God has called men and women to bring in the lost, whether it's in the workplace or not, and often you have opportunity to share and bring just the concept of God. So as we press in, spiritual warfare, surrendering a bit of ourselves, that our self-interest sometimes get put aside so we can help people. That's what the gospel speaks about. That's the kingdom coming in. Jesus refers to the kingdom in many ways. He calls it seeds, he calls it light, he calls it salt, he calls it deliverance from demons, he calls it healing of the sick, he calls it helping the poor and loving our neighbors. That's what Jesus spoke about as the kingdom. So we've got to say to ourselves, will we use that concept? Will we use those principles in the place that we work? How can we impact those around us by what we do? See, life on earth is what Jesus spoke about. He said, heaven on earth. And we've got to bring that down by just our acts of kindness, by acts of being Christian in our life, in our lives. God's desire for prayer often is what motivates us to pray for situations in the workplace and in our neighborhood and with our neighbors. God's will be enforced on the earth when we extend ourselves and say, God, use us in the miraculous. See, I believe that we don't see miracles because we don't expect miracles and we don't get our hands on the dead. And we want to see people raised. We've got to get our hands on some dead people. And, you know, that's the sort of faith we need to have. If we want to see things happen, we've got to extend ourselves and with an expectation that God can do things beyond our natural understanding. And that's where John 12 to 14, the scripture says, and you know, this is Jesus speaking. He says, most assuredly I say to you, you who believes in me, the works that I do, you will do also. He says, and greater works than these you will do, he says, because I go to my Father. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, see, there's an asking, there's a preparation, that I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I believe that's a key scripture for us, church. See, God's talking about believing. He's talking about stretching our faith. He's talking about whatever we ask. You see, we have not because we ask not. And that's often, I believe, the case. If you look at James 1:5, it says, if you lack wisdom, ask for wisdom. And that's my daily prayer. God, give me wisdom today, that whatever I see today, because it doesn't depend on what you see. It depends on what you look at will depend on what you see. And often you've got to look at something with an expectation to see something. And that's how I believe that God uses me. If I look, I don't always look at the natural. I say, God, what is it in the supernatural that you want me to see? What is it I'm perceiving? Because once I perceive something, I can then move forward in confidence to declare what I see. And I want to encourage you that in the workplace, God wants you to be like that. He wants you to be powerful in the things that He gives you to see and to do. Because once we see something, we need to do something with what we see. So I encourage you in that scripture, because Paul's assignment from the Lord was to open the eyes of sinners and to turn them from darkness into light. And he says, we wrestle. There's a wrestling that takes place. A wrestle the control from Satan. You see, there's a wrestle. Thank you. There's a wrestling that needs to take place. And if we don't wrestle the darkness away from the enemy in people's lives, they will continue to struggle. And if I can give you a good illustration, we are all saved by the blood of Jesus. We have the Spirit of God living in us. When we have to deal with people in the workplace or in the marketplace that don't know the Lord, that are struggling in circumstances that have bound them, we actually have the answer. We know something in a spiritual wisdom and a spiritual revelation that to them is totally foreign. But if we can impart it in love, it takes them out of a the concept of the enemy holding them in bondage, and we turn their whole life around and we say, there is a new way for you to look at life. And if we bring it this concept to them in love and grace and understanding, their world changes from a kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Now that sounds a simple illustration, but I can really tell you, when people know the kingdom of God is coming to their lives, it changes their families, it changes their husbands, it changes their children. And we don't realize that's how we are wrestling people out of the darkness into the wonderful light of Jesus Christ. Now, each one of us have a role to wrestle the enemy away from people's lives. And we can do it in many ways. Random acts of kindness, love, compassion, sometimes taking them to church. And I love the church, and I believe the church has an important role. But I do believe that we've taken the church and we've put the church up there and we've left the marketplace down here. But the marketplace is our ministry. Those of us that are in the marketplace, I want you to see something, that God wants us to transform the marketplace. And that's where I believe God's Spirit is going to be poured out. You see, as we wrestle these people away from Satan, and Satan has deceived us. You know, he said to us, the kingdom of God is something in the future when Jesus comes. It's not that at all. He says the church is supposed to be confined to a building. Now, that's also not true. The marketplace is the territory of the devil and has to be avoided. Now, I believe those three things have really confused us as to who we are in the church. And the church doesn't have to be in a building. We are the church. We are the called ones. Now, we have to take the church out into the marketplace. You see, Jesus said to the church, go. And it's in the going that they went to the nations. As soon as the church became a fortress into a building, it lost its effectiveness in the market. So I want to say to you, you know, you have the opportunity to take the church and to the name of Jesus out there and keep it out there. Don't let it come back. As soon as it comes back, it becomes inward focused and it looks at itself and it becomes very critical of itself. As soon as we're pushing out and we're looking beyond and we're looking to the nations, God starts showing us things. See, I believe there's too many Christians hiding under the pews in the church today. Because they haven't been taught, you know, that you need to go out. And I encourage the church, because there are so many well-qualified businessmen and women sitting in the church that have a vision for the marketplace. So God wants you to integrate that vision of the Lord into your marketplace. You know, when I first came to Auckland and I worked for a company where I was the general manager for them in the printing and dyeing works, I was sharing Jesus in the marketplace or in the company. And one of the ladies complained and actually got me to stop sharing the Lord in the, they can actually stop you today from sharing your faith. But I want to say to you, you just need to be bold. Do it in a way that doesn't offend and in a way that keeps people going on, and you can share with them again when you're outside the workplace. But it's our testimony of what we do more than what we say that people will look at. I like what Graham said about Francis Assisi. It's, you know, we can minister 24 hours, 24/7, but it's not in what we say, it's in what we do. And they will look at us and see Christ in us. So the kingdom is yet today. It's a now thing. It's not something that's going to come when we die or when we get raptured. It's a now thing. I want to say that's really important. The walls that have been built around the church, the mentality of a camped sort of environment is not the church. The church is something going out that's got to bring hope. It's got to bring dignity back into the community. Paul defined the community as righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. And again, he speaks about the Holy Spirit. You see, it's a human-to-human thing of righteousness as we minister to one another in righteousness. It's not something that's out there. Romans 12:21 says, it is good neither to eat or drink wine or do anything that your brother would stumble or be offended or made weak. He says, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So what Paul was saying to us is that don't do anything that will make your brother stumble out there. He said, but if you do something that you feel, you know, free to do, but it could offend your brother, do it in a way that won't offend a weaker brother. So he's really saying there are things that we need to have discretion about, But if we do it and we don't flaunt liberty recklessly in our faith, we won't affect our brother and make him stumble. So that's really important, I believe, that often in the workplace they will look at us and things that we can do. Some of us, you know, some men can't drink. Don't take him to a pub if he can't drink. Help him and just encourage him. So God's kingdom is a tangible thing. It's not a, it impacts personal relationships. And that's what God wanted his disciples to do. Christians relate to one another, and when they do that, they can relate the same way to the lost. It's a tangible thing. In Jesus' ministry, there had to be a paradigm shift. And I'm saying to you, the paradigm shift is when Jesus came into ministry and he spoke about his kingdom being something that they had to get their heads around, because it was a marketplace, a workplace-related area where his disciples went in to restore something. They had to restore, you know, when the first converts were won over and Peter ministered in the marketplace, 3,000 men, it's, you know, and there were women, of course, so it was 3,000 men, women, and children that came to the Lord. It wasn't in a church. It was an open-air meeting where Peter ministered, and the New Testament church was birthed at that point. You see, and the mystery of Christ was revealed, and those people gave their heart to the Lord. So 2,000 years later, we know a lot about the church. We know how to plant churches. We know how to build churches. But I tell you what, we don't know a lot about the kingdom of God. And I think that we've lost some of that. And sometimes programs have come in and given us a mentality that we've got to do everything through the church. Now I'm encouraging businesses to say to you, look again at how you can impact the kingdom from where you are. When the early church met, they mainly met in homes. And they went around and they ministered into businesses. And businessmen and women came together and they met at different times of the day. And, you know, I walked past a church when I was in Timaru. I was doing some business down there, and I walked down a street called Bank Street. Some of you might even know it. And as I saw this church, and I was looking at the wonderful structure and the building, and I admired it, and I was looking for the sign to tell me what church it was. And I eventually found the sign, and it said it was a morgue. It was a funeral parlor. And I read the sign and I thought to myself, goodness me, what has become of the church? And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, that's my church. My church has become a funeral parlor. There's too much death in the church and not enough life. And you know, if we can take life back into the church and we can stir things up and say, you know, the church used to be a movement, and sometimes I think it's become a monument. God doesn't want us to be a monument. He wants us to be a movement and something that moves in the power of God. So the church has got to, wasn't born in an upper room, as some would imagine, where there were walls. The church was born in the, you know, out in the market, in the street. It was born out there when the New Testament church arose. It arose in the city, and it started influencing businesses and cities around the nation. And that's when Jesus came in and said to them, you know, thousands received the Lord, and he sent them out. You see, the word church means ecclesia, or, you know, it means assembly. It's when men and women of God assemble. And it says in Acts 2:42, the church moved all over the city. So when it did assemble, it assembled in many places in the city. It didn't just meet in one little place. It met in many convenient places where there were 4 or 5 or 10 or 30 believers that met, and they, you know, they got together and they glorified God and they helped one another and they gave of what they had, so that the church could influence the city again, so that we take back the city. Church, we need to take back the cities, because we are in the city and we have been called to influence our brothers and sisters. And I believe as time goes, we're going to see that change. So I'm giving you a picture of where the church should be changing into. See, they devoted themselves, it says that many of the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings in the church. And they met often. If you look at Acts 2:42, it said they had fellowship and breaking of bread. And they gave themselves to the teaching of what the apostles gave to them. They met often at mealtimes. When they had a mealtime, they would break bread and they would share what the Lord was doing. You see, they didn't identify the church as being in a room upstairs. They turned the city and their marketplace around. and they didn't see the city as being an enemy. And I think at times we've been subdued and we've avoided the city as a church. And we need to pull the resources back out, because we've put so much money into buildings in churches and buildings in structure that often our time is spent, you know, bringing money in to pay for these beautiful structures. But God wants us to use that money, I believe, to touch lives and go outward with what He's given us. You know, we need to change our paradigm of taking the church out, not putting another monument there and saying, come to this church. God wants us to say, come together, certainly, but go out and get the people and bring them in and minister to them and touch them. And if they come into your home and they come into your fellowships when you meet once a month, that's great. But you know, we're not putting the emphasis on buildings. We're putting it on people. We want to build into people what God has called us to build into. Release them into the fullness that He has for them. So, you know, businesses, education, government, local and central government needs men and women of influence to go in there to be the light and to be the salt. Those of us that are called into, you know, strategic areas of business, it's such a kingdom call that, and I want to encourage you, don't shrink back from that. Keep going into that, because God is calling men and women to do that. You know, Peter was called the rock. Jesus called him, He said to him, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. And He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. God was talking to him about some authority. He says, whatever you, Peter, shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed. And that talks about an attitude of authority that Jesus passed on to His disciples. And He passed that on because He wants us to know that we have an attitude of, or we have an authority that we can apply to winning the kingdom back, not the church, the kingdom. And often our attitude has isolated us from the community we were called to actually win. So if our attitude is, you know, not a salvation message, or if there's some pride in our hearts and the attitude that we are believers, we are superior to the lost, it's only by the grace of God that we are who we are. You see, God has called us to be ambassadors, and we need to touch them because we are called as ambassadors to overcome the kingdom of darkness. So an ambassador will go and represent Jesus, the King of Kings, and you going representing the kingdom of light. So when you are speaking on behalf of God, you are representing another kingdom. And I want you to see that. That's how important your assignment is. You are going into the workplace, into the marketplace, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And He has given you keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever those keys where they talk about binding and loosening, it's a simple process of forbidding and permitting. And really what the Lord was saying is, when the enemies come to bind somebody, you have the power to loose them from the bondages that the enemy has put upon them. And we will come across individuals in the workplace that are bound. And Jesus says, you have authority to go and loose them so that they can be free in God. It talks about overcoming sickness and praying for people to be healed and restored. You see, you have an authority over sickness. I bind infirmity and I loose the power of God to bring healing and restoration. And I believe the gifts of healing and restoration are coming upon us in the marketplace if we will just step beyond where we've been before and trust God that He can use us wherever He sends us. That is the kingdom being brought from heaven down to earth, because we have that authority that we can touch lives in a wonderful way in God. So I'm encouraging you, the church is charged with implementing the wonderful resurrection power of Jesus Christ in the marketplace. It's an incredible assignment that we have. You see, we have got the power to overcome darkness, because darkness cannot come against the light. Whatever you release on earth shall be released in heaven. See, the body is entrusted with that authority. The authority is in the church, which can affect what happens in heaven. Isn't that amazing? I just really find that amazing. Paul writes that we struggle against rulers against powers of darkness and world forces that are, and they spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. That's who we struggle against. And the church's mandate and authority and its power is to struggle effectively to wrestle against this evil empire. That's who we are. That's what we're called to do. We got to struggle against this empire of Satan. So personal salvation and sanctification that comes upon people when we share the kingdom of God will change the dynamic that they live in. So your assignment and my assignment is to open the eyes of sinners. Not to call them sinners, but to call them men and women who God has the opportunity to touch through you and I. So we are God's agents on this kingdom, on this earth, to bring the kingdom back down into the workplace. So to obtain our legal place, we need to preach the gospel. We need to press in to the things that God has laid upon our hearts so that as ambassadors, we will change the very aspect of what God has called the church into. You see, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That's what Jesus said. The gates of hell. See, the gates are a defensive thing. They're not a progressive thing. And we have to storm the gates. The New Testament church was called to storm the gates so that we could pull the gates down, and that the New Testament standard is to allow the kingdom of God to come in. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10. And that's an incredible prayer, because in the book of Acts and the epistles and even in Revelations, it says the church was consistently described in relationship to cities. It said the church in Antioch, the church in Jerusalem, and the church in this region, the church in that nation. That's how the church was described, because it was a church in a place that was affecting its city and affecting its community. Today, if we look at the cities, we look at our communities, the church is not having an impact like it should. That's why those of us who aren't, you know, bound by a church, you are free agents to go and touch and equip. And when I saw our Chinese brothers, you're excited about the opportunity to minister in their businesses and how they were going to get certain groups of men together and they were going to impact them. And I thought to myself, that's what it's about. They're going to touch businesses and they're going to get men lit up for God because they're enthusiastic about what God's given them as an assignment to do. And boy, I tell you, I think it's exciting because you imagine those groups of men, as they get together in their businesses and they start impacting other men and they touch men, and regardless of where they are in their status in their business, they will touch those men and they will draw them in and they'll get together and they'll have a dance and they will enjoy their Christian fellowship and they will bring men in so that the church will grow and it will affect their business with the right ethics and the right attitude. And I believe that's what it's about. It says, you know, we need to touch teachers, accountants, businessmen, all those that are out in the marketplace. I ministered to a school principal, and it just happened that he came to a meeting in Warkworth, and he was sitting right at the back, and I just felt the Lord kept saying to me, encourage that man because he's been in a spiritual minefield, he's been battered. So I asked him to stand up and I encouraged him. I said to him, I really believe that, you know, you've been targeted by the enemy and he's trying to take you out, and you're a key man in whatever God has called you into, and he wants you to know that the work that you are doing is for the kingdom and you are building something supernatural in the kingdom. So I really was able to encourage the man in a wonderful way. And he came to me after, he said, you know, I'm a school principal. I said, no, I didn't know. He said, I've been battered. He says, some of the families when we've been bringing Christian principals into the school and trying to teach our children Christian education, and he says, some of them have been involved in witchcraft in our community. And he says, they've been attacking us. He says, my wife has become ill. I've come through a series of sicknesses. He said, but I know that's the enemy trying to take me out. He said, and I've got the responsibility of these young children. He says, I'm not going to let it go the way that they want it to go, where the enemy will have control in my school. He says, pray for me, encourage me. So I've been, you know, praying with him, mentoring him, and helping him just to stand so that he can, you know, apply those principles in the school so that our children can have the best for their future. And I admire those men that have stood. And I tell you, some of the accusations and things that come against them is really just lies and deception from the enemy that tries to pull them down. So we need to pray for men and women in places of authority, like school principals and teachers that really do a great work in the nation. So, you know, that couple are really, you know, just been through absolute storms, and I say, God, you help them, because that city in Warkworth needs that couple, because they are impacting, their school has got something like 400 or 500 students. You can imagine how many families that impacts, because they are standing for the Lord. So, you know, the church that was planted in the cities in the book of Acts, it was deliberately not in synagogues. You know, the old synagogue, Paul was called into the synagogue because he was trained as a theologian, and when he went into the synagogue, he didn't last that long in the synagogue, because they started bickering and fighting with him, and Paul said, well, I've had enough of this. Acts 13:46 says, I'm going to the Gentiles. He said, cheers, fellas. He says, I'm going to go and minister to those who want to hear from me. And he went into private homes, and he preached and he taught every day, the scripture says in Acts 1:9. So, you know, that's, you know, and he took the scriptures into businesses, into marketplaces, into homes. And it talks about Paul, Peter, James, and Philip turned their ministry places and meeting places so that the kingdom of God would come in the business place. So as disciples moved into different places, and it talks about, they knew that signs and wonders would follow. And that actually happened, because there was an expectation that God was moving in the marketplace. You see, violence is necessary. It says, Jesus said that the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, suffers violence, and violent people will take it by storm. Matthew 11:12. So often I contemplate, I said, why is force necessary? Because establishing a kingdom on earth requires confronting the kingdom of darkness. That's why force is necessary. But it's not force in the case of physical force. It is the case of us applying godly principles against the snares and the plans of the enemy, so that God's purposes will be released. The works of the devil are destroyed when one person gives their lives to the Lord, because in turn it replicates into the family. And we know that statistic, if one man is saved, 80% of the family will be impacted if one man comes to the Lord. And I say to you, men, we've got a task to do. We've got to bring back those men so we can take back. We can take back the land the enemy has stolen from us. Let's get out there and make that stand, for you, because we want to transform the marketplace for the Lord. You see, Paul knew that there was divine intervention needed. And I pray that every day. God, we want to have a power encounter with you. So when we go out, we change our community. We change the workplace. You know, when Paul was ministering, it says they were teaching the word, and many multitudes came through and they were touched, and they taught the word for 2 years. And there was an encounter where witches, warlocks, and they came publicly and they burnt all their regalia. And they repented and came to the Lord. It says, and the news spread throughout the Roman Empire, and the whole of Asia heard what God was doing. Acts 19:10 says, and the word spread, and they saw the power of God in action. And I want to say to you, there are 40 supernatural power encounters in the book of Acts, which talks about what happened when the word was taken out. And I thought, you know, the early church illustrated just what is expected of us. And in those days, you know, the movement shook cities. It shook cities. And I want to give you a few examples, as I had a quick look at this today, of all the different circumstances of Scripture and of disciples going out. The book of Acts illustrates just where things changed in the marketplace and out in the workplace. And I'll give you a couple of examples. Acts 2:37-41, it says, 3,000 men gave their hearts to the Lord when Peter preached. That happened in the city streets. And in Acts 4:30, it says, an earthquake served, and there was a great amen, and everybody sort of, you know, went to corporate prayer. It says all the believers gathered in the city. That is, you can read that in Acts 4:30. Acts 5:12-14, it says there were signs, wonders, and salvations, many at Solomon's porch. That was a public square. Acts 5:15, streets turned into healing venues, city streets. Acts 5:19, an angel met Peter, set Peter free from the prison that was in the city streets as the people prayed and they trusted God. In Acts 7:56, Stephen received a vision from the Lord when he was in the place of sharing the scripture and they started stoning him. Acts 8:5, Philip performed signs and wonders, cast out demons, healed the sick, and bring many to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That happened in the streets. Acts 8:18, Peter had the power encounter with a musician. We know that Peter was put in jail and threatened because he'd cast out this evil spirit that was in this demonic divination man that was practicing sorcery. So this guy got Peter into the center court and had him locked up because he had threatened his business. He had stopped the business from happening. And those sort of things will happen, when we touch the demonic and when we affect people's lives and when we come against evil in the city. We can expect some persecution, church, and it's when we get persecuted that the church actually rises up and it becomes more effective. If you read about the Asian church today, and if any of you get newsletters out of Asia and you realize how the underground church is so effective in the nation of Israel, of China, you will know that it's that persecution that makes them who they are today. They help one another, they love one another, they pray for one another. Signs and wonders happen in homes. When they go out in the street and they meet secretly and they pray for one another, incredible things happen. Men and women get released from prison because the believers get together and they pray and they witness to the guards and they stand and they walk around the prisons day and night for their believers so that they can be set free. Those are real things that are happening. There was a vision of an angel that was given to Cornelius. That was 10:1-6. You know, when the angels came, they didn't come into the church, they came into their homes. And I think it's just wonderful. An angel struck Herod dead. That was in the palace. That was Acts 12:23. So, you know, the angels had a lot of work to do. A lame man was healed in the public area. That's Acts 14:8. So you can see there was many things happening in the city. I could give you about, 20 or 30 other examples. It says extraordinary miracles were performed by Paul, Acts 19, that was in the city streets. See, as they went about doing the works of Jesus, and they didn't fear man or the opinion of man, they went out and they did what God had called them to do. So I want to say to you, in a way, I'm imparting something to you what Scripture says about who we should be and who we are. And if we can realize who we are and how effective we can be just by doing acts of kindness, praying for people, encouraging people in the supermarket, in the workplace, and coming together as men as you do, and taking what you have and taking it beyond the church walls and going out into the streets and going out into the schools, Bible in schools, men and women that go into the prisons, that minister to men and women in prison. That's what Scripture calls about. He says about looking after the poor. We have a mandate to look after the poor. Jesus said they will always be with us, but he is saying to us, we need to look after them. So I want to encourage you that we are called to do those things, and if it's a random act of kindness, a random act of the Holy Spirit speaking to you to go and do it, I want to encourage you, take your pride, put it in your pocket and say, God, I'm going to go and do this, and I'm trusting you to go with me to bring people into a new place of revelation as to who you are. So we carry with us, church, a revelation of who Jesus is. So I want to say to you, that might seem, sometimes we have to have a reality check and say, that revelation that I carry is a powerful knowledge that God has imparted to me as an individual, and I want to get up and use what he's given me so that I can see the results. You know, there's no greater blessing and satisfaction I get when I can share the gospel and people respond to me. And, and if it happens outside the church, I find it a bigger joy to be able to do that. And don't let apathy come in. You know, the church, they talk about in Revelations, often talks about the church being criticized because it became apathetic. It became, content with where it was at. We have to stir some things up in our lives. If we don't stir it up, it just becomes quite dormant. So I hope over these last number of sessions I've been able to stir something up that has been dormant in your lives and say to you, we are the church. We are charged with the responsibility to go and win our brothers and sisters back for Christ. And if you can use the gifts that God has given you, that's a greater impact that you will have as you share God with them. Give them a bit of information that they know is you don't know about them. And that's what I love about the gifts. Sometimes God can give me information about somebody that they know I don't know. And I can say, God's getting your attention again. He's calling you back into the game. He's calling you back into the race. Don't be a spectator and watch. Get into the game and say, God, there's too many of us sitting on the sideline and waving the flag. God wants us to be in the game, passing the ball, and getting involved. And it doesn't matter your age, your response, your status in life. God wants to use all of us, no matter who we are and where we are. Open your home and just say, my home will be a home of refuge to anyone that wants to come. You know, we found that when we moved to Hamilton, we always thought, well, it'll be a quieter life because, living in Auckland, we always found our house was like a railway station. People were coming and they were being prayed for and encouraged. And then, only those that we knew closely knew where we were going to. But suddenly the phone started ringing in Hamilton and people said, I'm coming to see you. When can I come? And I'd say, well, okay, come tomorrow. And then my diary would fill up and I'd realize that people wanted someone to come and share their burdens with, that wanted prayer for deliverance, from curses to be broken off, from all sorts of things that they'd gone through, but they wanted somebody that was available, able to minister in the power of God. And I don't say God's power can work through all of us, church. We are called with the same anointing that Jesus imparted to the disciples and has come down through the church. We have that ability. So if you say, I'm going to open up my home, I'm going to open up my business, a colleague of mine that I sometimes pray with in Auckland has got he does a lot of dental work for the dentist. He does all the dentures and molds teeth and does all sorts of funny things. You see the teeth there, they look like dead men's. They're quite scary when you see all the work he does to them. But he's got a business, he employs about 7 or 8 men. And that business has become almost like a ministry. Men come into that place, they sit in the lounge and one or two of them will come through and minister to him and off he'll go. Just that they've opened the door of their reception for people to come in and to be ministered to. If you can open your business, you can open your home and you can make it a place where people know they can come to be ministered to. I have a vision for Hamilton and I believe that I will one day open up a little restaurant coffee bar where people can come to be prayed for healing and for deliverance and for any needs that they have. So they can come for counseling, they can come to be set free, they can come to share their burdens, and it'll be a place where you can come and do your business, you can have a meeting, but you can also have prayer and you can also have whatever counsel you need. And I'm trusting that God will allow that to happen. And I'm encouraging many of you that have that vision to say, I'm going to make my home available. I'm going to make my business a place where others can be blessed. You know, we are blessed to be a blessing. I want to say that we are blessed to be a blessing. Each one of us. Each one of us have a ministry that God is calling us into, and He's saying to us, don't, leave it to somebody else. You, each one of you, need to take the kingdom of God and impart it into the place that you are at. And then from there, as God wants to move you, He'll open doors to move you to other places. So, God does that. And often we're in a hurry to move, but God wants us to get established where we are. If He moves you, that's great. But stay where you are and be fruitful where He's called you into. Is that okay? So I'll encourage a few of you. What time are we finishing now, Graham? At 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. That's good. Okay, well, that's good. There's no time. There's no limit to time. Is there any questions, actually? Seeing we I don't want you to all sit and, have some dialogue if you've got a question. Yes, sir.
You are confirming, I believe, in my heart and quite a number of others, what the Spirit of God is saying. It's time to get out of the marketplace and to dare to be a representative of Jesus under the power of the Holy Spirit, to where people can come without restraint or inhibition and feel that someone has got time for them and they'll listen.
Yes, that's right. Isn't that so important? People want our time. And, you know, we get so busy in our workplace that we don't have time for people. And that's a sad indictment of business today. It consumes us that we don't have time for anything else. Anybody else? I saw another hand there. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
A big thing for me is busyness.
Yes.
Having around the busyness.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, we all get busy. I think business, it comes to a set of priorities, and we have to put a priority time aside to say, I'm going to do a certain, if I look at my day, it can get filled up, but I put a time there. If somebody says they're coming to see me and they need ministry, I'll say, there's an hour and a half I've blocked out for that person to come and see me, and I'll give them the time of day, and I'll, you know, minister to them. If they say, you know, I need to see you after work, it'll be 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock when they'll come, and I'll give them that time. And often in the counseling type ministry that we've been doing, I get my wife to come in with me and we will minister to them. If it's a lady, it's always my wife and I. And if it's a guy, often sometimes I'll bring somebody else in. And I've trained up a team of 12 at the church in Howick in Auckland. And they go about into homes and ministering to people on a counseling type operation. And some of the ladies work mornings and they have the afternoon off. So they'll dedicate the afternoon, two afternoons a month or a week, to go and minister to individuals. So I think it's a, you know, we have to just try and slot our time in and say, I'm putting that time aside for ministry. And that's, you know, each person knows their schedule in the best way possible to try and do that. But it's very, very satisfying to be able to counsel and help people. It really brings fruitfulness. It's amazing how much wisdom and ability sits in the, you know, in believers today. They've been through life experiences that nobody could teach you, but if you could take that and impart it into, you know, young people's lives, and that's why I say about mentoring again. If each man picked up a young person and said, I'm going to mentor them for the next 6 months, you don't have to make it a long assignment, might be 3 months, 6 months, I'm going to build something into that young man. I'm going to help him with his business to get it established. I'm going to put some godly principles into him so that he builds his business and takes it onward. And then you just get him to report back every 2 or 3 months or when necessary. So then you're mentoring him on in God. And I believe that's what discipling is about. You know, the word of God said, you know, go and preach the word to all nations, but make disciples. We have lacked the ability and the time to make disciples. And I'm encouraging you, we need to make disciples of men and women today so they can be effective for the next generation. Else there's going to be a huge gap. You know, they're going to fall through the cracks. Yes?
I've recently done the prison fellowship course.
Huh.
So if anyone's looking for someone to mentor, there's 7,100 plus in
prisons. Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, that's very good. And I believe that's what it's about. Prison ministry is an incredibly, you know, rewarding ministry, but I believe it's also, it takes men and women of courage to be in there and ministering to those people. It's not easy ministry. It's a challenging ministry. But I tell you, some of those that come through in prisons make incredible intercessors. And they're on fire for God. I mean, they are really, they'll make us, you know, their prayer life makes ours look like we haven't started yet. So, yeah, it's good. Yes, sir?
I'd just make a comment and encourage people in working in bigger corporate organizations to find Christians within that organization and come together for prayer.
Yeah.
I worked in local government myself, and I knew I was going back into this organization. I'd left it for 3 years, knew I was going back, not just to be, you know, do a job, but actually to be a watchman in that area.
Yeah, good.
And we've got a dedicated prayer meeting on Mondays now, just after lunchtime. Looked at one of the meetings, and I've cleared it with management, and we're there. And got about 4 or 5 of us coming together, and I bring encouragement. I said, we're the Josephs and the Daniels in this organisation. And because it has an important role, particularly local government, for the well-being of the
yes.
And the enemy's already been in that place and turned upside down once before it went completely.
Yes.
And, you know, we've seen God's hand move in that organisation.
Fantastic.
Pretty one of staff. You know, it's a huge harvest field in itself.
Yes.
So I encourage people to do that in those bigger organisations. There's a place for that.
Yeah.
It's a sacrifice to pull oneself out of doing the day to do that.
Mm.
But, you know, it's booking the calendars for those of us as Christians and
yes, that's very good. I do believe that prayer is the key in business. And, you know, those of us who call to pray, you know, and we all call to pray, to pray. Some have got a greater burden for prayer. But I encourage you, that's really very important. I prayed for the company I worked for every Friday, and I found there were two believers in the business, and others eventually started coming to the Lord that were nominal Christians, and we encouraged them to partake, participate in the prayer time and to be active in what God was doing. And it does, sometimes it's a cost, but it's worth it. It is worth it. So well done. Keep praying. You and your men and women in places of key, you know, God has put you there. It's a key position for you. So I encourage you, you just get hold of it and make it happen. There are many prayer movements in cities today. And if your church or your, you know, your organization gets involved in a citywide prayer campaign, get involved. You know, 2 Chronicles 7, my people who are called by my name, they will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, and, you know, seek the face of God. God will move on their behalf, and he will heal their nation. He will heal the land. And I believe that's very significant for New Zealand, because God is raising up prayer ministries around the nation. And, you know, I get invited to some of them, and I think it's really fantastic to see how God is stirring up prayer in the nation. And all of us should be involved to a greater or lesser degree. Make yourself available and say, I'm going to pray once a week. I'm going to pray whenever God leads me. I pray regularly. I pray every day. And I get on, you know, we are spirit-filled believers. I pray in tongues a lot. Praying in tongues breaks the enemy's strategies. It does something supernatural in ourselves. You know, tongues, there's two functions. One is, you know, you pray for yourself, to edify yourself. So it talks about that in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but speaks to God. For he doesn't edify himself, but he edifies himself. It's not for public exhortation. And then it also talks about tongues, where tongues are spoken in a public meeting, but then there should be interpretation, that it would be equal to prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. But praying in tongues edifies your inner man, builds you up spiritually, so that you will be strong to withstand the attacks of the enemy. It reveals the purposes of God for our lives and allows God to strengthen us for what he has. If you want to be, you know, spiritually attuned to what God is doing, pray in tongues often, as often as you can. I pray sometimes half an hour to an hour a day when I walk, and I pray. For me, walking and praying has become a part of my life, and I commit myself to praying because it stirs up something in me. I pray for my family. Often when I've got a burden for somebody and I pray in tongues, God will give me the answer. I'll phone them up. I'll email them. I'll say, God is saying this to me. I want to encourage you, because something gets stirred up inside when I pray in tongues. And each one of us have that ability. Pray in tongues often. Pray in the natural, pray in tongues, whatever is your prayer calling. We can't underestimate the power of God working through us in prayer. And pray for your businesses. Pray for the people that work for you in the business. And when they walk in the morning, you say, I've got a scripture for you. I've got a word for you. I want to encourage you. This is what God said to me last night. They say, wow, you know, that's fantastic. You know, and they just get lit up. A lady was going through a terrible divorce that worked in the company that I worked for. And I kept praying for her. And one day she came in. I said, I want to encourage you. Here's a scripture. And I gave it to her. I wrote it down on her desk. She came into my office and said, you know, I used to go to church when I was at school and when I just left school. And then I just faded away and I left the Lord. But I think it's time that I came back to the Lord. So I called one of the other ladies in. We led her to the Lord. And she just, her life changed when she gave her life to the Lord. Just a simple illustration, giving her scripture and saying, look, I've been praying for you. I know you're going through a difficult time. It changes her circumstances. She then just needed somebody to prompt her and say, now it's the time to, you know, to make a change and give my life to the Lord. So I encourage you. I'll talk to you a little bit about the gifts, and then we can, you know, operate. I believe that the gifts of God were given to the church for the edification of the body. And I think maybe we should just, seeing we've got a little bit of time on our hands, just do a little bit of some practical stuff that can help us here this afternoon. Is that all right? I think I love workshops because I never stick to the agenda anyway most times. Okay, I'll just talk to you a little bit about some gifts. I've got a little summary that I like to refer to. We know that we spoke briefly about some of the gifts when we were talking the other day, but let's just talk about the nine gifts of the Spirit and then let one or two of them operate amongst us. See, I just want to say to you, each one of you have a gift, a primary gift. And what I want to try and do is help you just to release what is in you today, so that when you go out, you've actually feel, you see, before I say anything, there's love one amongst us here today. There's nobody has to feel threatened. Nobody has to feel that there's pressure on them. There's no pressure. There's love one for another here this afternoon. So I'm just releasing that amongst us and making everybody feel at peace. So as we share gifts and God uses different gifts in our lives and in individuals as they've grown in their gifting, God wants us to use that gift as we go out of a place like this, because this is a safe environment, an environment where we can share openly and be, there's no condemnation, nobody's going to be wrapped over the knuckles if they get it wrong. We just want to help you just to be free in your gifting. And I'll talk about the three revelation gifts quickly, because those are the three areas, the three gifts we'll talk about and perhaps use a bit now. We talk about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Word of knowledge is some information that is given to us by the Holy Spirit that He reveals to us individually, so that as He reveals it to us, either by a picture, by a perception, by a dream, by some form of revelation through the Word of God, the Logos Word becoming revelation to us, He releases something in us that allows us to bring it forth and encourage somebody. Sometimes we see things. That's why our eye gates are so important. When we look at people, it says that Paul looked intently at the man that was sitting on the windowsill. He said, and he perceived that he had faith to be healed. See, Paul saw something through his eye gate. In chapter 13 in Acts, it says Paul looked at the man that was operating in divination. It says that looked at him intently and he perceived that the man was deceived. See, there was a looking that comes. So the eye gate is an important means of us looking to perceive what the Holy Spirit is saying. So you see a lot through your eye gate, more than what you realize. And then it resonates in your spirit, and then you take what the Holy Spirit has given you. Normally that first impression He gives you is what He wants you to use. Okay, so just we'll practice a bit of that. Discerning of spirits is discerning between good and evil. And often in a meeting you can discern whether there's, you know, let's say there's a healing ministry or healing anointing that's coming to a meeting. There's something you discern, or you feel that the angel of the Lord's present. There's an evangelical presence of the Lord in the meeting. Or you can sense that there's you know, there's divination operating, or there's witchcraft operating. That comes by the discerning of spirits. And it's really a very helpful gift when you're operating to try and help people in the area of counseling and deliverance, where you discern the spirit that is binding them. Sometimes it can be an ancestral area. It can be an area of fear. It can be, you know, a bondage that they've been struggling with, something that they've inherited that they're struggling with. You could, you know, discern that there's a curse upon their lives. All these sort of little tools we take out into the marketplace and we can use to help see things and say, now I want to help my brothers and sisters break free and to be in liberty in the Lord. You see, I believe that liberty and freedom is what the Holy Spirit came to give us. And He's restoring the body of Christ into a place of liberty and freedom. And we should all be running and walking in that liberty today. And if we deal with anything in our lives that the Holy Spirit puts His finger on, it'll help us to be free. Okay. And also make us, gives us greater boldness when we start operating and we work with one another and we see things and we hear things and it gets confirmed. We start getting more confident. So when we go out, fear doesn't bind us. You know, if you're out in the marketplace and you see something and then the enemy will say to you, you know, you're making a mistake, you're going to make a fool of yourself, you suddenly start listening to the wrong voices. But if you know that your gifting is, you've exercised it, you know you are, you say, I rebuke that thought. Now, that's not from God. I know that what God has given me, I can operate freely within the marketplace. So, you know, the Holy Spirit once uses that area of the word of knowledge, and I'll stick to that gift. He uses it that we speak edification, exhortation, and comfort to one another. In other words, we build one another up, we encourage one another, we speak, you know, life into a person's life. We can speak death or life by the power of the tongue. Okay, God wants us to operate in the area where we speak life into people's situation, and we encourage them to say, man, you can go on, you can win, you can get to the other side. And those words of encouragement can really make such a difference when a person's going through a hard time. So be sensitive to people and let the love of God flow through you. So the motivation is love. If you love your brothers and your sisters, you will be able to encourage them. If you have the desire to be used in spiritual gifts, a desire, a zealous, it talks about being zealous for the things of God. That word zealous is being eager, being, you know, have that expectation of God using you and wanting to be used. Okay, so there's an expectation that comes from being used of God. And you say, Lord, I'm making myself available today to use you. I know that you can use me. And, you know, through the Holy Spirit working in us, we can see and perceive a lot more than what we give ourselves credit for. And then stir up your faith. We all have faith, and faith needs a bit of stirring. Sometimes faith should be spelt R-I-S-K. We want to risk something for God, and we're just going to go out there and be a little bit, you know, courageous for the Lord. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a chair here, and I'm going to ask some of you to, want somebody to sit in the chair, and then I'm going to say to the, to all of us here this afternoon, those of you who've got a word of knowledge and you feel that you can encourage a brother or sister with what God is saying to you, and then I'll just help you with it as we see what the Holy Spirit is saying, so that there can be some exercising of what we have. You see, because we don't exercise our gifting, we won't grow in our exercise. You know, it's like that spiritual muscle. If you don't use it, it just becomes very, very dormant and it doesn't become active. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this chair here and I'm going to ask somebody who's feeling brave to come and sit in the chair. Even if you're not brave, come and sit here. And there we are. Well done. Thanks, Maureen. So now I'm going to ask you to let the Holy Spirit come. He's here amongst us. He's with us. Operate through you as a believer to encourage Maureen and to give her words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's to build up, to stir up, and to cheer up. Okay, we're building her up, we're stirring her up, and you know, we're going to say, Holy Spirit, what do you have to say this afternoon through me that I can encourage Maureen for what God has for her now and in the future? What is it that you're saying to her today, Lord? Okay, come and stand up here, and we'll use a microphone so that they can hear you. I think it'll be good. Is there another one there? There we are. It's pretty. I haven't got my recorder with me.
Yes. Okay. Can you hear me?
That's good. Now, come and stand a bit closer. Yeah.
You know me. I'm from Royal Oak. I'm Gordon Richards. Hi. Maureen, I feel Acts 16:31. I don't know how many of you. Members of your family or Christians, and whether grandchildren or whatever, but the Lord's saying that, you know, they will be saved. You know, have faith. Acts 16, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, and your whole house, your family, and he's going to do it. He'll do it.
That's good. See, now, it's Gordon, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. See, Gordon's, the Holy Spirit's been talking to him about a specific, about you know, Maureen's family. Isn't that wonderful? See, the Holy Spirit is interested in us individually, our families, and where we're going, how we're going, what's happening to us. And He wants to encourage us as we've been praying for our family and standing there in the gap, that He's with us. Isn't that wonderful? Anybody else?
My girlfriend, I like the more fate.
Come.
Got a lovely girl. 80, she's 80. I'm nearly 80. I like the hair. She must have more faith. She's a believer. Yeah. What can I do? What can I do?
Okay, so we'll deal with that and pray for you later on that one. I want you to have any words of knowledge that are specifically for Maureen or for her circumstances to share those. Okay.
He is surrounding you with love.
Okay, just share on that so others can hear if you don't mind. Thank you. Somebody can just look after that microphone then.
God loves you and your family, and He's surrounding and keeping you with His love. You know, you're under God's blessing. You mightn't think it, but you are. All the time.
Amen. Yeah, it's good. Just put your hand up and a brother will look after you there.
Maureen, this is from Psalm 27:1, and I'll paraphrase it. The Lord is your light and your salvation. Whom shall you fear? The Lord is the defense of your life. Whom shall you dread?
That's good.
Maureen, you're hearing from God, and you have words of comfort for others, and they will be blessed as you speak to them and speak into their lives and speak into the problems that they're facing, Lord, that are worrying them or things that they need. You know that God will answer your prayers and the prayers of any righteous person, and you can cause them to have more faith through believing that God's word is true and that He will accomplish the things that He says He will.
Mm, that's good.
Hello, hello, Maureen. Carolyn here. I just, when you sat down, I just saw the effervescence in your face and the excitement to be up front and to sit there. And it was like the Lord was acknowledging, I was seeing that the Lord would acknowledge your hunger for Him. And I just had that picture of Ezekiel, I think it's 47, I haven't got my Bible here, where it talks about the river, measuring the river. And first of all, they hopped in ankle deep, and then it was knee deep, and then loin deep, and then it was a river that they couldn't, you know, they had to swim in. And I just sense that the Lord is saying, well done, and to encourage you that He wants you just to swim in that river, and you're just going to go freer and freer and fuller, and the Lord is going to take you further and further and give you the desires of your heart. Bless you.
Maureen, I believe that the Lord is saying to you to follow on from that first revelation that was brought, that you are going to see each one come to the Lord before in your life.
Good.
Yeah, Maureen, Trevor here. I know you, but I'm not going to say what I know. But I'll say what I hope the Lord is telling me to tell you, that He knows.
That's right.
You know, in the past, like I look at a great big sea. In the past, there's been storms on the sea, quite severe storms, even like whirlwinds that try to pull you down. Not whirlwind, a whirlpool will try to pull you down. But as time gone by, the Lord's given you a surfboard, and you've had some little waves to go, and you've ridden them, and you've done that quite well, and then a few more, and you've ridden them quite well, and lately it's been quite good. You've been going over them, but all of a sudden there's going to come a bigger wave, and you're going to go on that one, and you're going to fly down that faster with more power than you've ever seen in your life.
Whoa, hang 10, boy. Here we come.
Hi. I've just seen in my spirit eye something. You're holding something underneath your arm, like a, you know, like a rugby player will hold a rugby ball. But it's something. It's a black. You know, it's black. I can't make out what it is. And I think it might be something that you're holding on to, and as a result of that, you cannot free your arms to work or to do what the Lord actually wants you to do in fullness. I hope I'm on the right track. Okay.
Good. Okay.
Maureen, I see a huge dam behind you, a dam of power and anointing. The Lord has called you to walk in the power of Him, to walk in His anointing, to minister to people. And as you overcome these little bits of fear, and as you get deeper, like was said, deeper into the water, that dam burst is going to come, and it's going to flow through you, and the power of the Lord is going to go through you and into the people that you're ministering to.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I know the scriptures, but unfortunately can't remember where they're from at times. When one has been faithful, many will come faithful because of that faithfulness. And I'm sure you've been faithful for a long time and sowed a lot of seed. Okay, and I'm saying today, remember the seeds that have been sown. And I'm sure you've sent plenty out and you will see results.
Bless you, Maureen. I just sent something about your mother, and the Holy Spirit said it's going to come right. And I just felt that this brother sharing there. It's something about your mum.
My mum has passed on.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. But just what when he spoke up, it just quickened more in me, and it said everything's going to be all right, the Holy Spirit says.
I saw Maureen, there's something new going to happen, and it is of God, and step through and go with it, because it is of God.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Brother Leon said that if we can feel something within our heart to say something, that first, I don't know, the impression, whatever it is that we get, we need to get up and bring it out. And I just feel right now that there's a lot of the people in the congregation, you've got that gift, but you haven't exercised it, and the devil is robbing you of that. And so you need to let go. And like Lynn said, this is a place to exercise that gift, because if it's wrong, we have a brother here to put it right. But Maureen, I see a veil, and you're standing on one side of the veil. I don't know who's on the other side, but I believe you know who's on the other side of that veil, and it's going to be ripped. And when that veil is ripped, people are going to come through. I don't know who the people are, whether they're unbelievers, whether they're family, I don't know. But God will tell you who those people are. Bless you.
I don't know, Maureen, but I got, when Leon was saying how, you know, just ask the Lord, straight away I got Psalm 12, and it's actually quite, reading it myself, it's actually like what a lot of others said, you want that faith and confidence of everything that you're doing. And this is how I'm understanding Psalm 12. I'm not very good at understanding it. But the first part talks about the oppression and everything that's been coming upon. But one part here, it says that you will arise. The Lord said that you will arise out of all the rut that has come and been with you and around you. You will come out of it.
Yeah, Maureen, Jerry here. Several people have already commented about faithfulness, and I'd just like to reinforce that. In Proverbs 20, it says, a faithful man, who can find? And it's the inference is that there aren't many of them. And God, we know God casts his eyes back and forth across the earth, and he's looking for faithful men. And I believe that we're living in an age now where God is calling his people to obedience and faithfulness. And I believe God is saying he has found in you a faithful man.
Amen. Worship team is getting some competition.
I take up from where the brother mentioned before that there's something holding you back. And that holding back and that veil that you spoke of has to do with your past life, which you've been healed of and released, but there's a spirit of fear that holds you back from concise and immediate decision making. And I believe God wants to develop, free you from that, and develop in you a strong faith and incisive decision that'll startle the daylights out of your husband and other people, because you will know immediately that hesitancy that's there, that still comes back from something that you need to let go and strike out, be daring, as has been said here today, almost rash, and say, yes, I believe that's from God. And you'll have a decisiveness and an understanding of the mind of God, and you'll jump to it, and you'll startle people by that revelation and knowledge that you have that this is the will of God. And it'll be a progressive point where the veil is rent, where the burden, whatever it is that's been held onto, will be gone, and you'll be a person who'll be known of instant, quick decisions that have come. You'll know right away. You'll never hesitate. This is God's new plan for you.
Okay. Thank you. That's good.
If I just add on to that, Maureen, that this is to do with the situation that you've been dealing with at the moment, and the fear has been something that's been very real. And when you allow God to remove that, you're going to get resistance from people. And when that resistance comes, God's telling you not to do what comes to your natural mind, because he's given you the weapons to fight this with, and it's not the carnal weapons that we use. He's given you the weapons that you need to use, and you need to use them pretty quick. Okay?
Good. That's good. Well, okay. Let's hear from Maureen. Do you want to just reply back to those who gave you a word and give them some feedback?
I can relate to the holding back part. Can't remember. Adrian mentioned my mum, and yes, I did have quite a big problem with my mum, but I felt I had dealt with that. But when, you know, someone says it, then I need to make sure that I have totally dealt with it and look into that. But I guess I have got a bit of fear there that I hesitate sometimes, and I'm sure with more prayer and with my husband's assistance that I will be able to deal with that too, and God will take me further. So I really thank you all for the words that you have given, because it's very encouraging. So thank you very much.
Well, would you like us to pray for you about fear?
Yes, thank you.
Well, if you stand, and then let's stretch our hand out to Maureen, and let's just encourage her. Father, we know that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And we release Maureen from every form of fear that the enemies try to put upon her. We bind that fear, and we loose her now in the name of Jesus. That perfect love casts out all fear. And we say thank you for our sister. Thank you for the call of God and the diligence that she's displayed in the way she walks before you, O God. So we thank you for a sincere heart, Lord, for the ministry that you've called her into. And we take authority over every assignment of the enemy that has come against her, that has tried to hinder her in her progress in God. And we say we bind anxiety, we take authority over timidity and fear. And we loose you and we say, go forth in the anointing and the power of God. And we set you free to run for God and to fulfill the calling and purpose to which He's placed upon you. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Maureen.
Thank you.
You've got a lot of courage to face this lot. Wow.
I think probably the biggest fear a lot of us face is actually ministering to unsaved members of our family. And I would say that is probably one of the biggest fears that I have had. But from now on, I'm going to face it.
Well done. Mm. That's good. So you can just see from that illustration just how well and effective the body can be when we encourage one another. Many of you carry, some of you didn't share that could have shared, I'm sure. But it just shows you that there's so much wisdom, so much gifting that is resident in the body of Christ that we don't use it enough, we don't stir it up enough, we don't get it going in God. So I want to say if there's one more, we can do another session. Anybody else want to? Yep, okay, we've got a volunteer. Sorry, the lady was up there first, the ladies first. Sorry. Is somebody going to write down for you? Give them an instruction there, please. Okay, bless you. Is somebody going to write down for Amy? Yes, okay, good. Well, welcome, Amy. They don't look too scary from here, do they? No, that's good. Okay. Holy Spirit, what do you have for Amy today? Just to encourage her, to speak into her life, words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. And we commit that to you, Lord. Try and encourage those who didn't minister the first time, if you would like to, but I'm not going to stop anybody else that ministered the previous time, but... anybody else that feels that they can trust God to hear for Amy?
Amy, just as you went and sat down again, like somebody else said before, there's an excitement about you and it sparkles out of you. And that excitement that you have is from the Lord. It's going to be contagious to other people. So as you walk into a room and you bring the life of Jesus with you, that excitement is going to be absolutely contagious. And people will be drawn to you because where there's life, there's light. And that's what people are looking for today.
Mm. Yeah. That's good.
Amy... you have a peace and a radiance of joy, and it is from the Lord. And there is a scripture in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29 that says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." And he will be hearing your prayers, and you will be seeing the answers.
Good. That's good. Just give your name too when you take the mic. It just helps if there's a tape that Amy wants to listen to.
Oh, it's Keith. I just felt that there were times when you were very unsure of the path that you were following as to whether it was of the Lord. But the Lord would say to you, "Fear not, for I am guiding you, I am leading you. And even when you are not sure of the path that you are on, I am there beside you and I have prepared the way. You will not always sense that I am with you, but I am and I have prepared the way. Fear not."
Kerry here. I just feel that at times you want to do things for people and that, and you're just wondering whether you should or not, and whether you have the ability to do that or not. and you also wonder whereabouts you should be doing it. And I just think it's summed up in Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. So those things that you're desiring to do, put your trust in him and go out and do them. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. So you'll be doing this in one place. Don't think about, you know, where it's going to be and so on. So wherever you are, that's where you do it. And just develop that faithfulness that has been spoken about already today.
Good.
Malcolm Tweed, the burden I have is that you, when you, way back when you began your pilgrimage and walk with the Lord, you left some people behind, and you've sometimes felt condemned that you didn't do enough, that somehow, and you carry almost a spirit of condemnation about this from your first beginnings with the Lord. But I believe that God has would have you know that you are to free yourself from self-condemnation. You did as much as you could for that time, but God will allow you create opportunities for you to reach back to those that you feel you failed, and he will cause you to be a mouthpiece and a voice and a light to those who are still in darkness that you feel so concerned about. The failure is not you. The Lord will take this part of your life and cause you to reach back, but he'll free you from a spirit of condemnation about it.
Bernice Tweed, I feel that you're not too old. And the Lord has a lot for you yet. And he's going to work through you. And you might feel because of a generation gap that perhaps, you know, you can't do it as well as you could. If you were younger, you'd be able to do it better. But no, the Lord will give you the strength. And he will give you, open up ways for you to minister for him, and you're not too old.
Yeah, that's right. Good. I'll fill the gap in the meantime, Amy, and encourage you. And, you know, just see that you have a gift of hospitality, and I want to encourage you that you step out in that more than you've done in the past, because I believe it's a gift that you can encourage others and you can minister to them in that opportunity of hospitality and bringing people in to your home. And I believe that God has blessed you with that, with a generous spirit, a spirit that likes to give and make people feel comfortable. You have that ability to draw them in and you know, impart love to them and grace. God has filled you with them, you know, with grace, and I encourage you to see that operating in you, to touch lives and when you touch them by what you say and what you do, there's a sincerity about you that is, you know, very touching, because people see your word as your bond and see you as a woman of righteousness, a woman of honor. And God has given you that astuteness to see these opportunities. And I want to encourage you that you take those steps of boldness as you see the opportunities and take them on. And I believe you can do a lot more than what you give yourself credit for. Okay. And I'm calling you to rise up into it, because there's much more in you than what you realize. And you've often waited for others to lead the way, but I believe God is, you know, cranking you up a bit and saying, come on now, Amy, we can do some of these things. We can take them on and we can climb that mountain. We can conquer some things that we haven't conquered before, because my spirit in you. So I'm releasing in you a courageousness in God so that you can run and do those things that are in your heart to do. I believe God has deposited a lot in your heart that he wants you to stir up and get on and do. And, friendship evangelism is one that I believe that God will use you to befriend people and bring them in and speak the word of God into their lives and show them godly principles, and it'll touch their life and turn their life around because of the what they see in you, and they see the, you know, the way you walk your walk, and you know, you don't talk it, you walk it, and they'll see that, and they'll be encouraged by what God has deposited in you and the favor that He's put upon you. He's put much favor on you, and I encourage you to see the favor of God that rests upon you, that others will want to know about. What is that that you carry in God? And you can tell them what God has done for you. You've got a testimony of God's goodness, and you need to share that and encourage others to reach out to the things of God. And when they're in the place of hardship and storms, you're one that's going to go in and speak peace. You're a woman of peace that will bring peace and tranquility into a situation because you carry the peace of God with you. So don't be, you know, make yourself available and go in and speak peace into a situation where there's storms and where people have lost their way and in turmoil. You know, you're a peacemaker and God's called you into that. Bring peace and righteousness into their homes and into their families and into their situation. So step out, encourage you. Much in you, you don't realize.
Hi Amy, my name's Julie. I'd like to just encourage you. Okay, I haven't done this before. I've been coming to Full Gospel for the last 10 years, since I was a young married lady. And you've been one of the ladies that have encouraged me just by approaching me and welcoming me. And as each convention I've been to, I've added one more little baby to the to the clan. And I'd just like to thank you for the welcoming that you've given me. And I felt that I've grown. And I just really wanted to thank the Full Gospel for just helping me to grow. Even much more than maybe my local church. It's just, I've felt that it's just been the family that it surrounded me in prayer, even like really distantly through Matthew. And you've been one of those bright faces that have welcomed a strange young lady into your midst. And I'm sure that there's lots of other young ladies that are going to benefit from your smiley face and your hospitality and just that love that proceeds from you. And they will be encouraged too. So thank you, Amy.
That's good.
Yeah, hi, Amy. I'm Matthew,
okay.
The other half.
Give you a chance now.
Yeah, I just wanted to encourage you with a scripture from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, sort of tied in with what's been shared earlier. Just that as you wait on the Lord, He will renew your strength, that you will mount up with wings like eagles, you will run and not be weary, you will walk and not faint. Just to encourage you to wait on the Lord, and He'll supply you with everything that you need for the task ahead. Bless you.
It's good.
I mean, praise the Lord. I think that what you've been receiving and what I feel in my heart too, that when you went up there, I could see the joy of the Lord in you. And you're a type of person that, as our sister said, and as Len said, your door is going to be an open door, and people are going to come, and they're going to receive from you, because Lord, the Lord is anointing you to have your door open for people to come, and they will be blessed, and many souls shall go through your door, and shall find peace in God through your ministry. So sister, just keep that door open. There are many, many people that are going to come through your door, and you're going to be blessed. Boy, are you going to be blessed.
Julie. Amy, Julie expressed something very, very special to you. She expressed it from her heart. But I believe she was expressing something to you that many, many, many people would like to express and haven't. Julie was the voice piece today for all of those people that you have touched, that you've helped, that you've ministered to. Yes, they are small seeds, but they're impacting, empowering seeds. And the expression she gave today is just the expression that so many, many, many people feel about you. So be encouraged, my sister. You are precious in the eyes of God. You have a ministry, the ministry of helps, the ministry of hospitality, the ministry of love. So be encouraged. Put your arms around the people and encompass them, because I believe God is saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. For the tape, that was Keith.
That's good. Well done.
Okay. Hi, my name's Cheryl. What I got was a visual, and I can't quite understand it, but here goes. There's a little girl on a swing. She had a big bow in her hair, and she's just carefree. But in the background, I saw seats in a carnival that go around flat out, which is totally contradictory, one being very peaceful and one being whirly, whirly, whirly. So the words that came to me were, be still and know that I am God. So whether that is the ministry that you're coming into that's going to be take off and you're going to look very peaceful on the outside, but maybe in the back of your mind or within yourself you're going, ah, what's going to happen next? And then just God's going to come on very slowly and say, just be still and know that I am God.
Good. Okay. One more. Two more.
Be encouraged, Amy. I don't know whether you have Scottish background, do you? Yeah, because I kept getting the name Stuart, and I'm thinking, what on earth is this? But I think the sense I get is that you have such a rich heritage in God. Now, I don't know whether you have had a Christian mother or a Christian grandmother that prayed for you, but it's almost like a vein of gold going through rock. You have a real rich heritage in God, and so much to offer. And, you know, so often we think that we don't have a ministry until we're standing behind a pulpit like Len. Well, that's just not true. You have a ministry just being you. And there's a real depth to you, like, you know, a real deep vein of gold. Don't underestimate, you know, that I think there's a heritage in you from the past. And I guarantee you, if you go back through your family line, there'll be grandmothers and great-grandmothers that have been praying for you generations ahead. And I think that in time to come, you'll look back and you'll meet people like this young lady here and others, and you'll look back and you will have created your own heritage, almost like the wake of a boat traveling through the water. There'll be a heritage behind you of lives you've touched, just being you and sharing the love that God's put within you. So go for it.
I sometimes get just a single word, and I always feel totally foolish about it. It seems so totally meaningless. But I get up and take the risk eventually when I just follow my pride. And before anyone got up for Maureen, I got the word handbag. Perhaps that might be something to do with what was under her arm, I don't know. And for Amy, I got whistle stop. So I don't know, it doesn't mean anything to me. It might mean something to you.
Well, I think handbag, you have a handbag full of stuff.
We, the willing, led by the unknowing, are doing the impossible for the ungrateful. We are now qualified to do anything with nothing. So you always have a Band-Aid or something in that handbag, whoever that was.
Amy, I think there's a testing coming for you, Amy. As these gifts are given to you and made known, I think the best thing to do is to start doing them. So we'll be at your place on Tuesday lunchtime. For breakfast.
Yeah, what's that address? Trevor's taking the list, by the way. I'll put my name. Okay, I'll make this the last one, and
if I can handle this. When you sat down there, I got a picture of a paddock with a fence around it and all these woolly sheep, and there was wonderful pasture there, and this was your paddock, and then I saw you at the gate, and I don't know if you have any pastoral background at all, but you were trying to get sheep and you were dressed up like a shepherdess, and you had your gate open and you were running around whistling and trying to get as many sheep as you could into your pasture. You were gathering people there. You were hospitable, but I didn't understand it. But it sent me into giggles. It just seemed so funny to see you there trying to get all these sheep in, whistling, and here's your paddock, and you wanted to feed them. Hey, I've got good pasture. How am I?
Okay, we'll give Amy a chance to give some feedback, and then we'll close the meeting.
Yes, well, people do come and go through my house. in fact, through the church, there have been people that sort of were needing a home, and we took people in that we didn't even know, and they ended up staying 5 weeks and things like that. Yes, I related to something. It was Keith at the back said that I am unsure of myself, and I always like to sort of discuss things with Eric before I'll carry on. I don't just step out. I do often feel unsure about what I'm doing, and that came through from somebody or other. And I just thank you all, because it's just a wonderful word.
Good. You. Well done. Give her a hand. Okay. So I'll just say thank you very much, and you can see you can all do it. Just keep stirring it up, and God will use you more than what you realize. He's just looking for available men and women that will step out for Him in this next season of your life. Just say, God, I'm going to do it for you, and we're going to give it a go. Okay, so bless you all.